Good morning, everybody. I don't know why, but as soon as I connect to Podbean, the music always seems to get faster. It's really weird. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Can you believe how fast this week has flown by? We're already at Friday, and I know for many of you, Friday is a welcome relief because you know that the weekend is just around the corner. This morning, we're going to continue on defining level five leaders, and we're covering the section called Cultivating Level Five Leaders. But before we get to that, I'm going to pass you over to Mary Pierre, who is going to tell us how to share and all about the current competitions.
Yes. So when you are on Podbean or on Facebook, make sure that you share the podcast this morning. So just beside where you write your comment, you have the arrow to share. So if you are on Podbean, you can share on all social media platform, and you can also share by Messenger and by text message. If you are on Facebook, you will be able to share everywhere on Facebook. So your personal profile, story, page, group, and even by Messenger. So if you have someone that you want to make sure that they will listen, make sure that you share by Messenger or by text message. And we have some contests for the month of April for Les Millionnaires de Diamant. First, for everyone who contribute on our Facebook group. So when you post, when you put a reaction, a comment at the end of the month, you will be in the draw to win the accessory bag Les Millionnaires de Diamant. And our top five will get the new notebook Les Millionnaires de Diamant. And then for everyone who invites someone new to the group, for everyone who joined the group during the month, will be in another draw for the accessory bag, Les Millionnaires de Diamant. And then when you receive your book, when you receive your agenda, you take a picture and you post it and you tag Maria Mariano, you tag Les Millionnaires de Diamant, and you will be in the draw for another accessory bag. And then for the last one, we have our Shopify Les Millionnaires de Diamant. So when you place your order or when you receive your order, take a picture, post it on our Facebook group, and you will be in the draw for another accessory bag.
Okay, so we're collecting accessory bags this week, I think, or this month, and we're going to get lots and lots of different things in them, I hope. As I said this morning, we're going to be looking at cultivating level five leadership. I do want to take a moment to say thank you to everybody who helps us make this podcast and be part of it. And we especially want to say thanks to Lise and Mathieu, who are constantly welcoming new people on the Podbean. I really want to say thank you to all of you who listen out there. If we didn't have any listeners, it would be a very sad podcast. And also to our studio audience, who are the people who come with us on Zoom every morning, because it is so much easier talking to people rather than to a blank screen. And the last group of people I want to thank is all of you who contribute to the group Inspirational Millionaire of the Diamonds, because it is a fantastic resource for many, many things. Okay, so when a recently appointed in a meeting that Jim Collins was at, when a recently appointed CEO put her hand up and in a presentation to ask whether it was possible to take a company from good to great if you were not a level five leader, this is the answer that Jim Collins gave her. He said he couldn't be certain that you must be a level five leader to take your company from good to great. He only knew that out of the 1,435 companies that they looked at and only chose 11 for the good to great title, all of them, all 11, had a level five leader. After such an answer, there really was only one question. Can you learn to be a level five leader? Jim Collins believes that there are two types of people in the world: those who, no matter what they ever did, would never be able to be a level 5 leader, or those who have the seed of a level 5 leader idea. Those who do not would never in a million years give preference to the greater ambition of a company building something larger and more lasting than themselves. They will focus on what they get from a situation, personally, fame, fortune, adulation, power. They would not sacrifice these things for the greater good of the company. Unfortunately, many companies specifically hire a dynamic, loud, egocentric leader in the belief that this larger-than-life personality can make their company great. Not many companies are ready to hire in place or promote from within a small personality to lead their brand. Fortunately, the category of people who have the potential to rise to level 5 is probably quite large. And how would they do it? Well, there is no list, but maybe through self-reflection, self-development, maybe working with a mentor, maybe they've had a great leader in their lives or great parents, maybe they've had a significant life experience or a level 5 boss, and many other teachers, leaders, factors can begin to help them to develop into a level 5 leader. Life experiences can spark or change somebody onto a new path, and maybe some of those would be transformed into level 5. Maybe a life-threatening disease, such as happened to one of the 11 leaders. Maybe participation in a war-torn area, as that happened to another of the 11. Or maybe a spiritual enlightenment or a tragedy. All those life-changing events can also bring out in somebody the possibility of a level 5 leader. Out of the 11 people who were heading up the companies chosen for this examination or research, only 3 of them had those sort of experiences, but perhaps that's what changed them into level 5 leaders. It is not always the case. I believe that Vladimir Zelensky is emerging as a level 5 leader. He is humble. He is working timelessly for his country. He was thrust into this role after his country was forced to go to war. Time will tell, but he is showing many of the traits of level 5 leadership. Collins believes that level 5 leaders are actually prevalent in our society. They are all around us. We just don't know what to look for. And what he says is you need to look for a situation where extraordinary results exist, but no one is claiming the credit. I was reminded as I was writing this morning about several films I've seen during my life where underprivileged schools have suddenly become great schools, or a situation has happened where a sports team has been like totally useless and then transformed into the winning formula. So this morning I Googled with chat, no, not Googled, I chatted with ChatGPT, and I was trying to get him to give me opinions. He won't give opinions. He'll only give you facts. And when I was asking him about if he could tell me anybody who would never show the traits of a level 5 leader, he was not willing to give up some ideas. However, I asked him if there was a situation where great results were achieved, but nobody claimed the credit for the results. And he told me the story of Brockton High School in Massachusetts. It was underperforming. It was had low test scores. The students had low engagement, and the school were wondering what they should do. So they formed a committee, and on the committee, they decided that they would focus on literacy. And what that meant was that literacy was to be taught in every subject, even physical education and mathematics. And I did wonder in my head, how do you teach literacy in physical education? But I'm sure that there were ways that they came up with, because it was agreed on the committee that in every class, the children would be taught literacy. And gradually, the whole success of the school turned around. Reading and writing was taught everywhere, and the school performance completely changed. They went from being one of the lowest performers to the highest performers in Massachusetts. It was done by a collective group who made it happen. But I know, and all of you know, that when you work in a collective group, there is always a natural leader. There is always someone who's working tirelessly in the background to make things happen. And in this case of this school turnaround, nobody came forward and took the credit. So what that tells me is there's a level 5 leader in there somewhere, and they're just waiting to be discovered. Collins talks about 2 black boxes. He says what it takes to shift a company from good to great is in the black box. And we're going to discover what's in the black box in the next few chapters. But he also says that within that black box, there's another black box. And that black box is the development of a level 5 leader. There is no top 10 list guide to becoming a level 5 leader. It is a powerful idea, satisfying idea, and probably to go from good to great, an essential idea. This chapter has been describing what level 5 leaders are. The rest of the book will be describing what level 5 leaders do. So by using the book and starting to practice some of the things that level 5 leaders do, maybe you can develop into a level 5 leader. And if you are a potential level 5 leader, your individual traits will be highlighted and maybe develop you into a true level 5 leader that you were destined to be. Is it possible for everybody to be a level 5 leader? Probably not. Will you be able to get there even if you follow the actions of this book? Collins says, maybe, but you will certainly learn a lot on the way. So the final section of this chapter was just a summary about level 5 leaders, everything that we've learned. And I'll just give you a quick verbal summary, and then Marie-Pierre is going to help us learn more about that. So to summarize, the key points of level 5 leadership is all good to great companies had level 5 leaders when it mattered. So not all the time, but just when it mattered. Level 5 is the top of a hierarchical program that was put together to describe leadership. They have personal humility and professional will. They are ambitious only for the company for which they work. Level 5 leaders set up bigger successes for the future, whereas level 4 leaders are going to set up successes to fail. Level 5 leaders show compelling modesty, level four leaders generally have gargantuan egos. Level five leaders are fanatically driven to produce sustained results. And when they work more like plow horses than show horses. They have the ability to look out of the window and acknowledge the greatness around them and look into the mirror to take responsibility for any shortcomings. The reverse is true of level four leaders who look into the mirror and tell themselves how great they are and look outside to blame people when things go wrong. Often boards make the mistake of appointing a loud personality to take over a company when really what they need to do is look within and choose that humble, quiet, diligent person. Level five leaders are all around us. We just need to look for them. Big personalities related to companies often have a negative impact on a company. It is much better to promote a leader from within. And one of the most, I think, things that I learned during this chapter is level five leaders attribute a lot of their success to luck. They really exist. It is not just an idea. And now I'm going to leave you in the hands of Marie-Pierre to delve into this a little bit more. Over to you, Marie-Pierre.
Thank you, Melanie. So the last trait that they talk about for being that effective leader to become the level five leader is that professional will. So to have that will to make sure that you be the most effective person and a leader in your organization. So I have a quiz for you this morning that is designed to help you evaluate your own level of will and uncovering your strength and identifying area where you might improve. So of course, for each question, you want to answer only one choice. So it's going to be A, B, C, or D. And you want to answer always honestly for yourself because you are the person that will have the best result if you answer honestly and you will see where you want to work on that. So let's start with question number one. So when faced with a significant challenge at work, how do you typically respond? So A, I consider all possible solutions and commit to the best long-term outcome, regardless of the difficulty. B, I look for the quickest solution to minimize disruption. C, I consult with others, but often go with a compromise to avoid conflict. Or D, I wait to see if the situation will resolve itself before taking action. Question number two. How do you handle tasks that are outside of your comfort zone? A, I tackle them head on, viewing them as opportunities to grow and achieve better results. B, I handle them if I must, but I prefer to stick to what I know. C, I delegate these tasks to others who are more suited for them. Or D, I avoid them if possible, sticking to my known skill set. Question number three. What is your approach to setting standard for your work or for your team? A, I set high standards that challenge us to excel and continuously improve. B, I set reasonable standards that are attainable without too much difficulty. C, I follow industry standard and ensure that we meet them. Or D, I am not heavily involved in setting standard. Question number four. How do you react when your team fails to meet a critical deadline? A, I look inward to see what I could have done differently to support or lead the team more effectively. B, I analyze the situation to identify who or what was at fault. C, I try to understand the reason and ensure it doesn't happen again, looking for external factor. or D, are often attributed to circumstances beyond our control, and move on. Question number five. So when you achieve success in a project, how do you attribute the result? A, accredit the team and highlight specific contribution for members. B, I take pride in my leadership and decision making throughout the project. C, I feel lucky that things turns out well. Or D, I believe it was a team effort, but my role was crucial. Question number six. What's your long-term focus when making business decisions? A, I prioritize decisions that will benefit the company years down the line, even if they are tough now. B, I balance long-term benefit with short-term gain to keep stakeholders happy. C, I focus on immediate result to quickly boost the performance metrics. Or D, I make decisions based on the current trend and market demand. Number seven, how do you handle criticism or negative feedback about your work? A, I reflect on it seriously and use it as a means to improve my performance. B, I consider it but often find reason why it might not be entirely applicable. C, I discuss it with peers to get their take before making any changes. Or D, I often feel it's misdirected and tend to dismiss it. Question number eight. So when you notice a decline in your organization performance, how do you address it? A, I immediately start looking for ways to innovate and improve our process or strategy. B, I consult with my team to find out what they think might be wrong. C, I look at competitor to see what they are doing differently. Or D, I wait for the next performance review to discuss it with higher ups. It's harder this one, huh, Melanie? Question number nine. So how do you ensure your team is aligned with their organization vision and high standard? A, I regularly communicate the vision and importance of high standard through meetings and feedback. B, I assume they know it from their onboarding and the company culture. C, I mention it occasionally when it seems relevant. Or D, I believe it's up to the individual to align themselves with the company. Question number 10, the last one. What is your primary motivation when pushing for excellence in your work? A, I am driven by desire to build something great that lasts beyond my tenure. B, I want to be recognized as a top performer in my industry. C, I aim to please stakeholders and keep my team motivated. Or D, I work hard to avoid conflict and ensure stability in my position. So now that you answer all the 10, you can calculate how many A's, how many B's, how many C's, and how many D's that you get. So if you have mostly A, now you exhibit a strong professional will similar to the level 5 leader. So you have a steadfast focus on long-term excellence and are proactive about taking personal responsibility for both successes and setbacks. So this foundational trait is crucial for driving a significant improvement and achieving sustained greatness in your organization. If you have mostly B, you demonstrate a good leadership quality, but there may be opportunity to enhance your focus on long-term outcome and personal accountability. So emphasizing these aspects can transform on your effective leadership and become truly a great leadership. If you have mostly C, your leadership approach is balanced, but perhaps too cautious or reactive. So consider adopting a more proactive and personally accountable mindset to elevate your impact and guide your team toward exceptional performance. And if you have mostly these, you may benefit from a deeper engagement with your work and a more active approach to leadership. So embracing a stronger professional will can lead to better results and a more influential role in your organization. So first, start with a mentor. So you become this, like Maria said, it's like you are not a ghost, but someone who always follow them, always with them. So you can really embrace that professional will that they have. So on that, I really hope that you now know exactly what you need to work on when we talk about the professional will, and that you will become that best version of yourself. Like Melanie said in the book, they say, not everyone will reach that level 5 leadership, and it's okay, but we can all achieve the better version of ourselves, and that's what we are aiming for. So I wish you a beautiful day, a beautiful weekend, and we will see you next week. Bye, everyone.